I consider myself to be very, very fortunate indeed. Because it was a great privilege for me to have met Sakar Brahma Baba. But probably at that time, I did not realize so much that it is such a great fortune. Because I took it for granted that yes, Baba is my father, that's all. But then, as this knowledge became more and more clear, I realized that how great my fortune was. Because when I came to Baba, I was only 11 or 12 years old. My Laukik mother came to Baba in 1958. At that time I was about 10 years old. Born in 1948, and my mother came to Baba in 58. But actually, my Laukik mother says that from your birth itself, you belong to Baba. That's what she said. So I wondered how. Then she related a very interesting experience which she had when this body was just 3 days old. She said that you were born only 3 days, and she got a wonderful experience of angelic Brahma Baba. It was early in the morning at 4 o'clock, and she had like a semi-trance experience of an angel dressed in white coming in front of her, and that angel just came and stood in front of her, and he did like this, you know, as if asking for something. But my mother didn't understand what it meant, you know, asking something. And then I was there, of course, just born 3 days, sleeping with my mother, and he pointed towards me, the baby, that give her to me. And my mother wondered why this angel is asking like that. And then she got the vibrations like that angel telling her that this child is mine. I am her father. That's what she understood. And it was such a beautiful feeling at that time of an angel dressed in white and asking like that. So my mother, she picked me up and gave it to him. So all in a semi-trance experience. And then after he got the child, he disappeared. And then my mother woke up and wondered what that experience was, who that angel was, and how did he tell her that this child is mine, give her to me. And I gave away. She didn't understand, but of course I was very much there. I had not gone away. It was not taken away, but it was just a semi-trance experience. But then a very strange thought came in her mind that what did that mean? How did that strange angel, whoever he was, say that he was the father. How could he be the father? But then she didn't tell this experience to anyone. And later on in the evening, she got the message that my Lokik father had died in a car accident. It was an instant death on the road. He died on the spot. So my father never really came to see me. He was traveling. He was coming from another town. And on the way he met with an accident and died on the spot. So he never saw me. I of course never saw him. But this incident really shook my mother, because it had a lot to say with the morning experience, that how a strange angel coming in her semi-trance experience and telling her that this child is mine, I am the father. So who was this person? So that means he knew beforehand that my father would not be alive and somebody else would take care of me. But then she didn't tell that experience to anyone. But of course it had a great impact on her mind. And I was living with my mother and father, both were living with my aunt, my father's sister. She was the oldest in the family. And my father was the youngest son with 6 sons, and she the oldest, looking after the brothers also. And my father lived with my aunt, his sister, because her husband was a very big businessman, and my parents had migrated from Karachi. It was immediately after partition of India and Pakistan. So many of the people from there came to India. And my mother and father also came. So I can say this body was conceived in Karachi, you know, by Sindhi. I'm from the Sindhi family, so like Baba's family. So my parents lived there. And my grandmother, my mother's father and mother, they had seen Brahma Baba in Karachi. So my mother knew something, but not much. That's all. She had never been. And I was born, but continued to live with my aunt. And now my father died, so my mother lived with her sister-in-law. I was there with her. But then it's not very easy for sister-in-law, you know, to look after the brother's wife like that, because my brother, my mother from another family, my father had died and I was just born. It was definitely a big sad story for my mother. But then the sister-in-laws, they could not live together. So my mother decided to go to her parents' house. Of course, there was no question of remarriage. My mother was just 18 and my father was about 22. Married only 2 years. So, but no question of remarriage. And my mother wanted to be on her own feet so that she could take up a job and look after herself. But my aunt, my father's sister, refused to give me to her, means the daughter to the mother. And she said, no, this child belongs to this family. And I will look after her. If you want to go, you go to your parents' house. No, there was no question of going to the court or this or that. All that was not there during those days. So it was interesting that I never saw my father. My mother did not look after me, but my aunt looked after me. So this is how my story started. But my aunt was very good with me. She treated me like her own daughter, her own granddaughter rather, because she had children and their children. So I was the youngest in the family. And I was one of their, part of their family. And I did not feel any loss also of not living with my mother or father, because they looked after me very well. So that was my great fortune. But why I want to say this, because they say birth by somebody else and sustenance by somebody else. So this was my story. My mother had to toil hard because she was back in her parents' home. She studied, took up a job, became a teacher, but for me there was no problem. But I used to go to my mother to see my aunt, see my grandmother and all. And then when I was 8 years old, or I think 10 years old, when my mother got this knowledge, it was in a small Gita Pathshala, which was in the building where my mother lived. Of course, it was all in Bombay, but I lived quite far and my grandparents lived in a suburban area in the countryside. So there was a small Gita Pathshala there, which my mother used to visit. And one day when I visited my grandparents, my mother, she took me to that Gita Pathshala. I was only 10 years old. Like the mother taking the daughter, you know, children come to the center. So she made me sit next to her. First time, I didn't know anything. And the teacher there was reading the Murli. And as she was reading, I could feel that I can understand everything. You know, understand everything. And the Murli finished. The sister started asking questions, revising the Murli. And I, like a good student, I also answered as if I knew the knowledge. So it was the first time. And then at that time there were just pictures of Lakshmi Narayan, cycle, and Trimurti, and the Kalpa tree. Only three pictures, nothing else. And those pictures had writing, explanation of those pictures. So I went near those pictures and started reading the explanation. And I felt that I could understand everything, you know, no questions of course. Because my aunt was very religious minded. She used to take me to gurus, she used to take me to satsangs, you know, and she would read the Gita and many scriptures, and I would sit with her and try to understand what she is reading. So spirituality was like in my blood right from my birth. My parents also were very religious. And then when I understood this, but I wanted to know more. But then I went back to my aunt where I lived. And after that, Baba came to Bombay. This was in the year 1959, December. Because Sakar Brahma Baba used to come to Mumbai very often, every year, especially in winter time, you know, December, January, February. He used to stay in Mumbai for 3 months because Abu was very cold, and the doctors had advised Baba to go to a warmer place and stay, like the Dadis are now staying in Shantivan. They hardly come up in winter. So Baba used to go to Mumbai. And the sisters there, the teachers in the center there, they would rent a house, a big house with a big classroom hall. And Baba would live in that apartment and we would have classes there. So every day Baba used to invite a few souls for Brahma Bhojan. So it was a Sunday afternoon, and there was Brahma Bhojan, and about 50 mothers, only mothers, were invited to have Brahma Bhojan with Baba. So my mother thought, let me take my daughter also. So where Baba's residence was, that building was very close to where I lived with my aunt. Of course, she had to come from very far, but then for me it was very close. So she took me to Baba without telling me anything. And Brahma Bhojan was not ordinary like today, you know. We all sit together, everyone is served, and even the seniors are served, and one of the seniors gets up and says, now this is Brahma Bhojan, cooked in Baba's remembrance, now you can eat in Baba's remembrance. It was not so simple. It was much more interesting than that. It used to be like we would all sit on the floor, no tables and chairs, nothing. Baba also sitting on the floor, and we would all sit in a circle or maybe rectangular, and then each one, while the food was being served, each one would go to Baba, and Baba would give drishti to that soul. The child would go in Baba's lap. Baba would be sitting on the floor, and the child would go and put his head in Baba's lap, and Baba would pat the child, give a blessing to the child, and then put a morsel in the mouth, something in the mouth, and with a blessing and drishti. So, and then they would go back to the seat. In this way, about 50 souls, each one's turn would come to go to Baba. And put the head in Baba's lap. Baba would pat and put the morsel in the mouth and a blessing. And so my mother went, and then after that it was my turn, you know. So I was hesitating. I still remember I was hesitating. Baba was quite old and I so little. I was the only child, you know, all others were mothers. And so when my mother finished, I was watching everything. But when my mother finished, it was my turn, so I hesitated. But then Baba called me, come child, come, come. Come, like child hesitates and daddy says, come, come. So Baba said, come. And I remember it was such a magnetic pull, like Baba said, come. And I ran, I got up from my seat and ran to Baba, and I just went and, you know, sort of held Baba so tightly, as Baba also shaked. So that was very interesting, and Baba patted on my back, and he said, blessed me. The child has come back to the father. This is what Baba said. And then I felt that, because when Baba said, come child, come, I felt my father was calling me, because I knew I did not have father, and my mother had told me, actually she related that experience to me, that this is the one whom I saw in my semi-trance state, and he is the one who came to me and said, this child is mine, give her to me. So, and I gave you, but I didn't know him then. I can now remember he's the same one. So when Baba said, come child, and when I went and Baba said, the child has come back to the father. These were Baba's words. And I felt that I found my real father. So I always tell everyone with great pride that, you know, whenever you ask anyone, how did you take your spiritual birth? So each one has a different experience. Somebody will say, I took the course. Somebody will say, I got drishti from Dadi. Somebody will say, I got toli from Dadi, and then that was my spiritual birth. You know, many, many experiences, many different experiences. But I say with great pride that I got my spiritual birth in Baba's lap, because that was a place where I really experienced that I found my real father. And then, of course, there was no looking back. Because Baba was there for 3 months, and every day I used to go to the center in my school uniform. I was in my 7th class, just 11 years old, 12 years, and I used to go to the center, attend Baba's murli, and then go to school. It was very timely, because 7 to 8 was Baba's murli, and then after 8 was the class, my school. So the school was also very close to where Baba lived. The center was a little far, but Baba, where he lived, was very close to my house and the school. So again, a very big privilege for me. And I continued going to Baba, going to the center. I never did the course. There were no courses at that time. No question of 7 days course or 3 days course or intermediate course. You know, nothing of that sort. Just Murli. The sisters would tell you are a soul, you are the child of God, and then just sit, and then drishti, and souls would get some experience. It used to be like that. Hardly anybody argued or questioned or had any doubts. It was, you know, like the feeling of like coming back home for many of the students. So when I came to Baba, I realized that this is was my true home, my true family. Though I lived with my Lokiks, but I never really felt that that was my home. But Baba's home was my home. Anytime in the evening I would come, daytime I would come, because school was so close to where Baba lived. Anyway, so this continued for a number of years. But then when Baba went back to Abu, my mother took me to Madhuban. This was in the year 1961. I came to Madhuban at that time, Pandav Bhavan in 61. The history hall was not there. Meditation hall, out of question. No Om Shanti Bhavan, not even history hall. But in summer, Baba used to put a tent and we used to have a class in the tent. And otherwise, at night, the class would be in the old, where Baba's room is in Pandav Bhavan, and the office area where Baba's box is, there used to be the classroom. But Baba and Mama were with the group. Whichever group would come to Madhuban, it was just Baba and Mama giving spiritual nourishment to the children, sustenance to the children, meeting the children, eating with the children, you know, all refreshments, all entertainment, all things with the children. So that group which would come to Madhuban would feel totally refreshed. Like Baba says in the Murli's, children come to Madhuban to charge their battery. Children come to Madhuban like clouds come to fill up themselves. So you have come to Madhuban, fill up yourselves, and then go and burst, you know, like clouds showering. So this used to be the experience. From morning till night, a Baba would conduct Amrit Vela meditation. Baba would speak the Murli before, then Mama would speak. And I remember sitting in the front, you know, very, very studious, very alert, very excited to be in front of Mama and Baba. And then after that, after the Murli, Baba used to come out of the classroom, Baba and Mama, and we used to all follow Baba and Mama, you know, follow them wherever they would go. And I remember Baba would go to his room and we would follow Baba to his room. And then there would be a small chamber, you know, little gathering again in the room. And Baba would again start speaking. And that also many would write, you know, like Baba speaking and everybody writing. And then Brahma Bhojan with Baba, playing with Baba, badminton game we used to play with Baba. And of course, at night, again Baba would speak the Murli. So from morning till night, I don't know how the days passed, 8 days. We stayed in Madhuban all the time with Baba and Mama. I remember Mama also used to give a gift. Baba would also give a gift. You know, both would give gifts separately. So Mama gave me a little gift, a small purse, pearls, you know, made of pearls, little purse. And Baba gave me a small shawl. I still have it preserved as a memorial, like a memorial, like in my Lokik home. So Baba and Mama both used to give a gift. And now what happened on the day we were to leave, I did not want to go back to Mumbai. I wanted to stay in Madhuban only. So everyone came to Baba and Mama to take leave. And I was not available, I was not found. So my mother was looking for me. Where is Shilu? Where is Shilu? Why is she? How, we have to go now and we have to meet Baba. She looked, tried to look for him but couldn't find me. And then of course, they had to meet Baba. Baba called and I was not there. Anyway, she told Baba, Baba, I can't find Shilu. I don't know where she is. And there was no question of announcements like that. No, nothing like that. Very small Pandav Bhavan. And so Baba told somebody, go and look for her. So that person was, looked around and I was sitting in one corner, you know, crying because I didn't want to go back. I didn't want to go. So that person came and said, Baba is calling you. Anyway, Baba calling me, so I had to go. So when I went and Baba said, child, what happened? I said, Baba, I don't want to go. And my mother looked at me with stern eyes. How can you not come? You have to go back, because I was living with my aunt. I was not living with her anyway. So I had to return. And I said, I don't want to go back to Mumbai. And Baba was very sweet. He told my mother, okay, if she doesn't want to go, let her not go. Let her stay here. She can study in Mount Abu. You know, that's what Baba said. I was just 12, 13 years old. And she can study in Mount Abu. And I was so happy, oh, Baba is agreeing that I stay here. But of course, my mother was not willing. So Baba could not do anything much after that. And then Baba very cleverly told me, child, see, you know, but in Mount Abu, not very good schools. Because what had happened was that I had recited a poetry in English in front of Baba. And I had also given a small lecture in English in front of Baba. So Baba liked it very much. Baba said, you are very good in English. Yes, child, become more good in English and Baba will send you abroad, because in foreign countries they need English. And you can speak English and therefore Baba will send you abroad. He had told me a few days before. So now when I didn't want to go, then Baba said, see child, here the schools are not very good. No, in Mumbai, very big schools, convent schools and very good English schools, English medium schools. It is good if you go back to Mumbai and you study well, and then Baba will call you after you have finished your studies. Baba will call you. So Baba promised to me that Baba will call you after you have finished your studies. This was like a big blessing. Anyway, I agreed and I went back home. But then when I reached Mumbai, I really felt that I don't want to study. I don't want to do all this. I just want to serve Baba. That's all. And whenever Baba would come to Mumbai, he would always tell me, the child, become more good in English and Baba will send you abroad. Baba will send you abroad, he used to tell me. Now, this was in the year 1967, when I was to decide what line to take medical line or engineering line, because it was my second year of college and I had to decide my subjects, and I didn't know what to do. So I wrote a letter to Baba, this 67, that Baba, I'm in my inter-science, second year of college, and I have to decide what to do. My parents, my family, my aunt and everybody at home wanted me to go for medicine. And I don't know, Baba, what to do, because to go for medicine means 7 years of study. And I didn't want to do that. I wanted to surrender. I was about 18 at that time. So I wrote a letter to Baba and Baba replied. Baba used to reply every letter. Baba replied to me, child, Baba has great hopes in you. You are very good in English and Baba has this hope that you should go abroad and serve. So Baba wants you to become a spiritual doctor and serve the world. These were Baba's words in the letter. So spiritual doctor and serve the world means no, don't go for medicine, no medical line. So I told my aunt, I don't want to study. I want to dedicate my life to Baba and serve Baba. But of course, my aunt was not willing. She said, how can you do that? You're not even 18 yet. And you can't just renounce the world and become a sannyasi like that. You know, it was not easy for us to live like that. So anyway, she took me to an astrologer. In India, it's again very common to take to the astrologer, and the astrologer sees your palm and tells you your horoscope, your future and all that. So I was just 18, and she took me to an astrologer, means a family astrologer. And she complained to him about me that this girl has gone mad, she's gone crazy. She doesn't want to study, she doesn't want to do anything, she just wants to renounce everything and she wants to go for the Brahma Kumaris and this and that. So, and my cousin, means my aunt's son, he was in America. He was teaching there. And so he had written to me, you come to America, I will get, you know, you can study more here in America, come to America. And I refused. I said, I don't want to go to America. America is big Maya. I don't want to go to America. Then my aunt said, okay, if you don't want to go for medicine, then go for other studies. I said, no, I don't want to study at all. Then she said, okay, then you get married. I said, I don't want to get married. I don't want to study. I don't want to go to America. I don't want, I don't want, I don't want. I said, I was stubborn too. So she took me to the astrologer to know what my fate would be. So when she's telling my, you know, the astrologer that this girl doesn't want to go to America, she doesn't want to do this, she doesn't want to do that, we don't know what she wants to do. So he looked at my hand, my palm, and he said, she has a very strong line of travel and she will travel abroad many times. That's what he said. And then she looked at me, my aunt. Then she said, but we want her, okay, to get married. And he said that, no, her marriage line is also very powerful and her husband is going to give a lot of happiness. That's what he said. And then, and she smiled. Anyway, then again she complained to me, we are telling her to study and she's not even studying further. Then the astrologer saw my hand, he said, she, of course she's going to study a lot, she's going to get many degrees. That's what he said. And I was thinking, yes, master ocean of knowledge, well that's a degree, you know. Master ocean of peace, master ocean of happiness, all these are like MA degree, you know, master of arts, master in this. So these are the degrees which God is giving to me, so I've already got so many degrees. Anyway, so... And she is complaining and I'm thinking and he is speaking in a very positive way about me. And then after that he saw my other thing, what he saw, he said her Jupiter is very powerful and she has got a very bright future. And at the age of 25, I was only 18 then, at the age of 25 she will go abroad and she will do great thing, something he said. And then he said, don't stop her, because her future is very bright. And whatever she is doing is good for her. You know, these were the words the astrologer told her. And then, now this gave me a chance to speak to the astrologer. And I gave all Baba's Gyan to him, to the astrologer. And he was also surprised, and because he said you have a, you know, spirituality in your life. That's what he said. Then he told my aunt, don't stop her. And after that, my aunt stopped saying anything to me, and she said, okay, do whatever you want to do. Okay, you're the master. Anyway, after that, But my cousin in America, he said, okay, you go for degree, at least one degree, because only second year of college, just 2 years more, and you study and get your degree. So I said, okay. And then I went for Bachelor of Science. I went for studies. But then it was in the year 1969, January 18th. I was still in my final year of college. And it was a Saturday evening when, on 18th of January 1969, even this time it's a Saturday, 18th of January, tomorrow Saturday, no? That day was also 18th January in the Saturday evening. And I came to the center because I used to... tomorrow is Saturday, no? Yeah. So that day was also Saturday, 69, 18th of January. So I came in the evening to the center because every day in the evening I used to come to the center. Now my college timings were different, so I couldn't come in the morning, but I used to come in the evening. Only Sundays I would come in the morning. And in the evening I used to give courses, classes, lectures, everything. So I came in the evening and 8 o'clock I went back home. My Lokik home was close to the center. So when I went back home, of course, everything was normal for me. But then Baba left the body on 18th of January at about between quarter to nine and nine. And I was unaware because I had gone home at 8 o'clock. And after that, the message came. And at that time, all the dadis were in Mumbai. You know, many senior dadis lived in Mumbai. There was one dadi, Pushpishanta, very sweet dadi. She was my dadi. Even dadi Prakashmani lived in Mumbai. She was also my dadi. So I was going to one of the main centers in Mumbai. And so many dadis would come there. Baba or Mama would also come there. So I was very close to all the dadis. And next morning, on Sunday morning, when I went to the center, usually it would be a very busy Sunday morning because so many would come on Sunday morning to the center. But when I went there, I saw hardly anybody there. And I wondered, what happened? Where is everybody? Where are the dadis? And somebody whispered to me, you know, Baba has left the body. And all the dadis have gone to Mount Abu. Because immediately after the message reached, they all left. Some went by taxi to Abu, some went by bus, you know, they trained. There was a very late train, they took that train to reach Mount Abu. So not many in the center. And the moment I heard Baba has left the body, I was shocked. And you know what my feeling was at that time? My legs began to tremble. My hands began to shake and my head started spinning. And I felt this earth is going to fall apart and the sky is going to come down. You know, that's what my thoughts came at that time because I felt now finished. Destruction. That's what will happen now. End of the world. And then I'm telling Baba, I had promised you that I will surrender to you. And Baba just, okay, 2 years of study and then after I finish my graduation, I will surrender to you. Baba, I did not fulfill your hopes. Baba, you wanted me to become a spiritual doctor and serve the world. I was not able to do that. Now, Baba, you are gone. And I just sat in silence, of course, very, very sad inside. And immediately at that moment, I got a beautiful experience. What that experience was, like Baba appeared in front of me. My eyes were open. Not that they were shut. They were open and I could see like Baba standing in front of me. There was nobody there. But like I felt Baba standing in front of me and I'm watching Baba, looking at Baba. Baba, you went away. You have gone. And Baba, like, he took his hand and put on my head. And Baba said, no child, Baba hasn't gone. Baba hasn't gone. Baba is with you. And Baba will be with you. And you have to fulfill Baba's hopes. Baba's wish was that I serve the world. So you have to fulfill Baba's hopes. Baba hasn't gone, that's all. And immediately I felt so peaceful within. You know, it was a very, very wonderful experience at that time. And I just became quiet. I sat there for 1 hour. Didn't even realize that 1 hour had passed. But then later on, we got the news that Avyakt Bap Dada had come and Baba had given the message that now how the yajna will run, how souls will come to Madhuban. You know, Baba said now have bhattis in Madhuban, have training programs in Madhuban, Kumari's program, Kumar's programs in Madhuban, couples like that. So after that, there was an announcement in the center that there's a Kumari's training in Mount Abu in April. And because I couldn't go to Madhuban in January because I had my exams, you know, so I couldn't go. But in April, there was going to be a training for Kumaris, and all those who had graduated, finished their studies, they were most welcome to attend that training program for Kumaris. So I was the first one to endorse my name, you know, to register my name. And I came to Mount Abu in April 69, and we had a lovely Kumaris training. We were not many, just 30 Kumaris. You can imagine at that time, 30 was also a big number. And the training center, you know, in Pandav Bhavan, the lower portion and the first floor, that was ready. Not many buildings also ready. So Baba had actually said, you know, Dadi Janki was saying the other day, that how Baba and Dadi were having a stroll in the place where the Tower of Peace is, and Baba told Dadi Janki that, see, this is a training center I am getting constructed, and there will be training programs here, and you have to conduct these trainings, and this is a place where I'll make a house for you, Indraprasth for you, in Pandav Bhavan, and you will live there and give training to the Kumaris. So, well, that was the place where the Kumaris training started. And we were 30 Kumaris, that was a big number, 30 Kumaris to come for training. And during that training, of course, we had to decide that we would now go to the center. So Dadi Janki was the main teacher for us, Dadi Prakashmani, Didi Manmohini, you know, all the Dadis were called to Madhuban. So this is also very interesting that when Baba came from Karachi to Mount Abu, at that time, how Baba sent all the Dadis outside Madhuban. The Dadis were not willing to go outside Madhuban. They wanted to be with Baba all the time. But Baba had told them that now you have to go out and serve. How can you be staying here? By staying here, you can't serve the world. You have to go out. So they went to different places in India, wherever they were invited to start centers. Now when Baba became Avyakt, how Avyakt Bap Dada invited all the Dadis back to Madhuban. You know, this was very interesting. Cycle repeating. So the Dadis were back, and Dadi Prakashmani, all the senior Dadis started living in Madhuban, because when Baba became Avyakt, everyone had the thought, who will come to Madhuban? Who will come? You know, Baba is gone. Mama gone. Baba gone. Dadis were all living in centers. Nobody lived in Madhuban. None of the seniors lived in Madhuban. On the contrary, Baba would not allow any senior to live in Madhuban. Baba would say, no, you are meant to be in the centers, because that's the place of service. Madhuban is home. You come and get refreshed and then go back to your centers. So he didn't allow anyone to live here. No seniors. So where was the question of any Dadis living in Madhuban? And when Baba became Avyakt, then Baba himself said, now all the seniors must come and live here, because that will attract, of course, all the Brahmins back to Madhuban. And so these Dadis started living in Madhuban, and the training program was there, and we were about 30 Kumaris, and We were there for 1 month. Jayanti Ben was in the training before our training. Jayanti Ben's training was March and April. Ours was May, June, something like that. So Jayanti Ben and her group were in the group of those sisters who were already living in the centers. And Jayanti Ben has started living in the center in Agra somewhere, and she came for 2 months training here. Ours was 1 month training after their training. And we were just Kumaris. So not living in the center, but coming straight from home after finishing college and getting the training. And then Dadi Janki was very powerful. She used to train us how we have to now go to centers. Dadi Chandramani, all the senior dadis. And in that 1 month, we became so powerful that we decided now not to surrender. And of course, then we all went to different centers. And that was the beginning of my surrendered life in 1969. And Dadi Ji, Dadi Prakash Mani was, of course, my main teacher in Mumbai, now also in Madhuban. So I told Dadi, Baba had told me that you have to serve in English. So Dadi Ji sent me to any place where I can serve in English. So Dadi said, okay, you go to Bangalore. So Dadi sent me to Bangalore because there English service is there. In North India, no English service, only in South India. So I went to Bangalore. I was there for 1.5 years. And then after that, when I came to Madhuban, Dadi Ji sent me to Nepal in Kathmandu. There, you know, that was the period of the hippies. Hippies used to come to Nepal a lot, especially for drugs and all that. So 1970s. So we had opened a center there, and Dadi Ji wanted me to serve the foreigners in Nepal, in Kathmandu. So a center was open, and I remember so many foreigners there in Kathmandu, and we had held an exhibition, and I was serving them. And then, of course, after that, so I was in Kathmandu for about a year, and then when I came to Madhuban, this was in the year 1972, I came to Madhuban, and then Dadi Ji sent me to Hyderabad, South India, to Hyderabad. So I was there for 1 year, again 1 year in each place, and when I came back in 1973 to Madhuban, Dadi Ji said, now go to Mumbai, get your passport ready, and Baba will send you abroad. So it was very close to what the astrologer had said. So I came to Mumbai, and Dadi planned for me to go to Hong Kong. Because in Hong Kong, somebody had started a center, and they wanted a hand who could speak Hindi, Sindhi, English. Because in Hong Kong there are Sindhis, Hindi speaking and English. So I was told to prepare my passport, and of course after that the visa. But then according to the drama, my passport was ready, but visa was not ready, and therefore I couldn't go to Hong Kong. But then in the meantime, there was a very big invitation from Africa. So from how it started again was very interesting, Africa service, that Vedanti Ben and myself both were in Mumbai at that time. She was in one center, I was in another center. And we had held a very big mela, big exhibition. And it was the last day, actually the exhibition had finished, and one big gentleman from Africa, from Lusaka, Zambia, he was a big businessman, he came to Mumbai in search of some plan for building a temple in the name of his wife who had died, and he wanted, like in memory of his wife, a big temple, and he was looking for some designs, you know, some of any design of a temple. So we had made a beautiful opening model of a temple of Saraswati, Lakshmi and Durga, and the three goddesses and the temple like. So he came and he saw that and he said, "Can I have a photo of this?" So Vedanti Ben was at the reception and she said, "Well, we don't have the photos here, we have them in the center. So you come and visit the center and there we can give you the photo." After that time there were no cameras, no mobiles, nothing. This was in the year 1974, February. So he came to the center and Vedanti Ben very cleverly, she made him go around the exhibition, the museum, and she explained this knowledge to him. So when he heard Baba's knowledge, he said, "This is such wonderful knowledge. Have you all given this knowledge in Africa?" And we said, "No." Then he said, "Then can you all come to Africa?" Then she said, "Well, if you invite, we can come." Then he said, "Okay, I will invite you all. I will invite you all." And that time, luckily, Dadi Prakashmani was in Mumbai, Didi Manmohini was in Mumbai, because the closing ceremony was like a grand finale. The chief minister of Maharashtra, you know, Mumbai, he was present for the finale, closing ceremony. So they were already in Bombay, the Dadis. So Vedanti Ben took him to Dadi and the brother said, "Well, this is such wonderful knowledge. Why haven't you all given this in Africa?" And Dadi told him very sweetly, "Well, we go wherever we are invited." He said, "I will invite you. You send me two sisters. I will send the ticket. And I will look after them. I will do everything." So I was in one center. He said, "One should be Gujarati speaking, the other should be English speaking." You know, like that. So Dadi Prakashmani selected Vedanti and myself. And he sent the tickets, everything, and in 74 October, we were in Africa. It was very interesting how we went to Africa. We went to take leave from Baba. Avyakt Bab Dada was in Madhuban, and 774. So we sat in front of Baba. This was in the history hall at that time. Even the, I think, meditation hall was also not ready. So in history hall, Baba sitting and we sitting in front of Baba. And I told Baba, I asked Baba, "Baba, you are sending us abroad so far, because now it's so, you know, we don't feel that going abroad is a big thing. But that time it was definitely a big thing. You are sending us abroad, Baba. And what if destruction happens? And we are stranded there and destruction happens?" Baba smiled at me. It was such a childish question. I'm asking Baba such a question. What if destruction happens? So Baba told me, "Child, who is sending you?" I said, "Baba is sending, because we're not going on our own. It's not our wish, but Baba is sending us." So I said, "Baba is sending." So Baba said, "If Baba is sending you, then who's responsible?" I said, "Baba." Then Baba said, "If Baba is responsible, then why are you worried?" You know, so beautifully. This is the work of a teacher. The teacher gets the answer from the student. I asked a question from Baba. "Baba, you're sending us abroad. What if destruction happens?" And Baba answered in the form of a question for me to answer. "Child, who is sending you?" I said, "Baba is sending me." "If Baba is sending you," Baba said, "then who's responsible?" I said, "Baba." Then Baba said, "If Baba is responsible, then why are you worried?" You know, so sweetly, what a lovely conversation. So I said, "Yes, I should not be worried, because the one who's sending, he's responsible." And then I said, "Baba, But what will we do there? You know, because we don't know anybody. It's like a strange world going outside our country. We don't know anybody. Never gone out, never had any experience. Then very beautifully Baba said again, child, the field is plowed, the soil is plowed. You have to just go and sow the seed. The field is plowed, you have to go and sow the seed. That's all. These were Baba's words. That means people are ready. You have to just go and give them gyan. And then I said, but Baba, what type of people will we meet? You know, we could talk to Baba so closely. Baba, what type of people will we meet there? Who will be interested? Baba told both of us three things. Baba said that very rich people you will come across. Because at that time Africa was it was golden age in Africa, 70s. Very, very rich. Everything very rich. And many Indians there who are very big businessmen there. Well, Gujaratis, Punjabis, of course Africans were there, but even many Indians living there. And Baba told us three things. One thing Baba said was that you will come across very many rich people who will have lots of wealth. But at that time, don't think, oh, they are such rich people. We are such young girls. You know, I was only 25 and Vedanti even was, I think, 28 or 30 at that time. 74 means how many years ago? 40 years ago. So Baba said, you will come across such rich people, but do not think about their wealth. They may have lots of wealth, but they do not have the wealth of peace, which you have, and you have to give that wealth to them. Because at that time, you know, India didn't have a very good name in Africa. Because the Indians there were very rich. They, you know, many gurus, many sadhus, sannyasis, they would go from India to Africa. And there they would get a lot of money. They would ask for a lot of money and then bring that to India. So Indians had a bad name. The gurus had a bad name there. So Baba told us at that time, never, never make them ever feel that you have come to ask for anything. They should feel that you have come to give them something, you know, not take, but give. So never, and though they may have lots of wealth, but they don't have the wealth of peace, which you have to give to them. And then Baba said that you will come across many educated people with big degrees. Never, never think that they are so educated, so learned, so intelligent, and what are we going to tell them? At that time you should think that they may have the knowledge of the world, but they don't have the knowledge of the self. You know, they don't have the knowledge of the self, which you have to give to them. So this inspired both of us, you know. And we went to Africa, and I remember Vedanti and myself, how we landed there in Africa, in Lusaka. We were treated like princesses. Can you imagine? Big house, palatial house we were given. And everything so well furnished. And if we would ask for 1 kilo of sabji, of vegetable, 10 kilos would come. You know? 1 kilo was nothing. Because what are we going to do with all that? And the 3 cars in front of us, drivers, and day and night security, everything, like princesses we lived. And that brother saying, the one who had invited us, what do you want? He said, don't want anything. But where was the time to cook? We couldn't even tell any mothers to cook because nobody was really following any principles. But there was a big line of students. People would come. They would want the 7 days course. They were so interested. And who would cook for us? Nobody. So after spending the whole morning giving classes, giving courses. In the afternoon, we were so hungry, and we will look at each other's face. What to eat? What to eat? Because we couldn't eat anything from outside, but lots of vegetables, lots of fruit, lots of that. So what we would do, just make soup or make juice and drink, that's all. And that used to be our meals. But anyway, but so happy Baba gave us so much service. Then of course, how we could stabilize Baba's service in Africa, and then many seniors came, the dadis came, you know, so many came. And then we went, he took us all over Africa, both of us, many countries of Africa. And then he also took us to Mauritius. And Mauritius was, a wonderful place, because wherever we went, we got so many invitations to exhibition here, exhibition there. And again, they gave us houses where we could serve, and in this centers open. Everything was so quick, like all they were prepared. We had to just go and sow the seed, that's all. And Baba had, blessed us. And that's how centers opened in Africa, in Mauritius. And I continued living in Mauritius. Vedanti even went to Africa. Then I was in Mauritius for 6 months and brought a big group to Madhuban in 1975, December, of 30 students. And 30 students from abroad in Madhuban. It was a big thing, big thing. Everyone welcomed us with open arms. Oh, first big group has come from abroad. 30 souls. And again, it was very beautiful. And after I went back to Africa, to Mauritius, and in 76, I came to Madhuban again for refresher, teachers training or something it was. So when I came to Madhuban at that time, in Pandav Bhavan, just outside Pandav Bhavan, the buildings were being constructed. Raj Yoga Bhavan and Gyan Vigyan Bhavan, they were all under construction. And Nivedha Bhai had this thought that we will have retreats here, because in Pandav Bhavan only Brahmins can live. But outside Pandav Bhavan, we can have buildings where we invite VIPs and they have retreats there. So Dadiji told me that, would you like to stay in Madhuban and serve the VIPs, do Raj Yoga camps? And by that time, double foreigners had started coming to Madhuban. Our centers had opened in many places, in London, in America, in Caribbean, you know, many countries, in many other places. So I said, Dadi, wherever you want me, I don't mind. Wherever you want me, just live here. I will live here. So then I started living in Madhuban in 1976. And since 76, of course, I'm in Madhuban, translating for double foreigners and giving lectures in retreats, Raj Yoga camps. And of course, you must be hearing my voice when Baba comes. You hear the soft voice translating in English. So that's me, and I feel very, very privileged that since 1976, I'm able to serve the double foreigners, because the double foreigners will understand Baba's Murli only through English. So many would tell me at that time, you are the master's voice. The master's voice. So because God speaks and then you get the translation. Anyway, so since 76 I'm here, I'm living in Madhuban. But of course, I have traveled a great deal. I've traveled nearly to 60, 70 countries. I've been everywhere to Russia. Last year I was in Russia. And Africa also, I've been to many places. So Baba has given this beautiful family, beautiful home, beautiful service. So fulfilling Bab Dada's hopes, Baba fulfilled his promise. Sakar Baba told me that Baba will call you one day. So how he called me to Madhuban in 76, and he also told me that you will serve abroad, so that's also fulfilled, and that astrologer's saying also fulfilled, because in 1974 I could go abroad, and of course to America I've been many times, but no Maya can affect me, because God is with me, so how can Maya come to me? So this is my great fortune to have such a big family here. I consider myself to be the child of three fathers, not just one father, two father, three, but three fathers. And how Baba is able to, is really taking me across. I'm flying all the time, and I don't know, no words to really express my fortune which Baba is giving to me. I think this is what I can say. Om Shanti.